Welcome to Mr. and Mrs. Therapy, the podcast that empowers you to transform life's challenges into opportunities for personal growth and healthier relationships. We're your hosts, Tim and Ruth Olson, licensed marriage and family therapists and trauma experts.
As experienced therapists with backgrounds in addressing trauma and mental health disorders, we believe there is hope and there certainly is healing.
We have spent our lives supporting people through the ups and downs, and we want to share these insights with you. Together, we'll unravel the layers of personal growth, healing from trauma, and building healthy relationships. Each week, we'll bring you engaging conversations, expert insights, and practical strategies to help you heal from the past, foster healthy communication, and develop enduring love.
This podcast is your guide to transforming adversity into triumph, healing wounds and past trauma, gaining wisdom and insight, and creating meaningful, fulfilling connections. So if you're here to heal, to better understand yourself or your relationships, you're in the right place. So sit back, get comfortable,
bring your trauma and your drama,
and let's start healing.
Welcome to Mr. and Mrs. Therapy.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Mr. and Mrs. Therapy podcast. We're so glad that you're here with us today. Today we're going to be talking about how your internal feelings and anxiety and emotions can affect the experience that you're having, as well as the recall and memory of the situation. But before we jump into that today, if you would just take a quick moment to jump on Apple Podcasts and rate and review our podcast, we would be so grateful, as it really does help us get our message out to those who need to hear it. So let's jump into today's episode.
So we're going to start today's episode with a little bit of a story. So I want to lay down a little bit of the background so you guys understand a little bit more why some additional emotions were injected into this situation. So how this started off was we had our first two kids in the hospital. Then Ruth got really excited about doing a home birth. Now, for me, I felt like the first two hospital births went fine, and I kind of like the idea if something goes wrong, you're at a hospital, and they could take care of any problems if something comes up. But she was pretty dead set on having this home birth. And even though I had some worries and we talked to the midwife and it helped me feel better about the situation, I still had some levels of concern. Plus, another thing, I'm not super great with new experiences. And so this is going to be a new experience, which increases my level of discomfort. And so we really did take a lot of time to sit down with our midwife team and talk through this process and ask some questions about if this happened, then how would you guys handle that? And what are the protocols and what we should expect? And so we tried to do our best to be well-informed before going in to try to do a home birth. But I'll say that no matter how much education you do about something, it generally never is going to really prep you for something like actually going through that event.
And we loved our midwife team. That was the first time that we were going to use them personally. But we had seen them work with a lot of our friends, and they raved about them. And I can totally see why. And we went with Sacred Journey Midwifery. Lisa and Richard are a husband and wife team, and they are so knowledgeable, and they really have become dear friends of ours. And so over the period of really getting to know them, getting to know the process, and seeing and hearing their expertise at work, I was really getting excited. And they focus on home water birth. So I was really excited about the water birth. And if you've gotten to know Tim over the podcast, you know that he's really excited of being home.
Oh, for sure. Actually, that was a big selling point. I, that night, could sleep in my own bed as opposed to sleeping in those awful husband chairs at the hospital.
And so I felt like it was a perfect fit for us. And we really did get the best of both worlds. We had phenomenal care. And I will say at this point, Tim and I were both already very passionate about birth. Our experiences before that with our first two children were such a blessing. And we can talk for a really long time about birth and just that experience and going into it with a certain mindset.
And so for the first two pregnancies, going through all those classes and then the delivery and going through the labor together and just having a plan and a support team to help Ruth through that, it was really a very bonding and positive experience for us.
And so we're definitely going into this birth as a team. We've had great experiences and we were excited about this birth. And that was always something that for us going into the birthing process, like I really looked forward to not just giving birth, but the whole labor and delivery process. And so the birth happened, and Tim and I didn't watch the birth video for probably a month or so. But from the time of giving birth until we watched it, we definitely recounted that birth story to friends. And it's so interesting because we set up our room, you know, it was at home, so we made it all nice. It was a very calming atmosphere. We had the people that we wanted there.
Which, by the way, if you know anything about Ruth, she made it a party. Every single person, friend, family member that she could invite was there.
And so I was in a position where I was trying to catch the baby in the water, but the stance I was in, I was leaning a little too forward. And so the baby was going to come out and drop down behind me.
So because she was in that position, the way I recall it was, she was like, Tim, you got to catch the baby. And so I wasn't planning on catching a baby at that moment. And so then all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, okay, other than that, I have to like real quickly thrust my hands into the water. And as I'm putting my hands in the water, the baby comes all the way out and is now kind of floating down towards the bottom. I just barely get my hands in time to keep her from hitting the bottom. And I remember in that moment that the room was kind of chaotic. It was noisy. A lot of people were talking because, again, there's at least 5 or 6 people in the actual room and at least 15 to 20 people waiting outside. And I had told that story multiple times for about a month after that birth. And then we sat down and we actually watched the video.
And so when we finally sat down to watch the video, it was a very different experience. It was very calm in the room, and in between contractions, I'm like, Tim, you got to catch the baby. And then he responded really quickly. It was just very calm. And at one point, my mom was saying something to my other kids and saying, oh, look at the baby. And then the midwife even kind of quiets everyone so I could bring the baby up out of the water. But even that, it was just very calm and different than that experience that whole month of what we were sharing. And even as Tim was sharing it initially, I was like, I don't remember it like that. I don't recall it the same way. I have this certain picture in my mind of how it happened and his side of the story and what happened for him. Because honestly, I was giving birth, and so I wasn't really focused, and I knew that maybe my perspective was different and I could kind of quiet everything around me, and I was just kind of in the zone. And so really, I just kind of listened to his side of the story and we went with that. But when we sat down, when we watched that, it really is so interesting to see the difference and to catch it on a camera and replay it and see, man, that recount of it was so different than what we saw then a month later.
And I think that was a very powerful experience to be able to have something to test my memory against. And I think what was going on there for me was I was feeling anxious. I was uncomfortable. I was worried, right? Ruth is in the middle of giving birth. It's a new scenario. Also, then there was a surprise where I got to catch the baby when I wasn't planning to catch a baby. And so all those things were injecting a lot of additional emotions into the situation for me that actually edited my memory. And what I think happens for people is that your brain will slightly alter your memory of things to help justify how you're feeling, to help explain why am I feeling this way. When you're recounting, you're recalling a memory or an experience, being aware of how you're feeling in that moment, it's an important thing to help you understand your memory may not be really that good because you may be viewing it through this emotional lens that may enhance or even make up parts of the memory that weren't actually there. For me, the worry in that situation enhanced how direct I felt like Ruth was with what she said and how loud she said it. But really, again, she was barely eking out any sound because she was in the middle of the contraction. But then for me, it also made up the fact that the room was noisy when it wasn't noisy at all. And so a lot of times people really rely on their memory and they think that it's like a steel trap and that when I can visualize what had happened, that's exactly what happened. But it's a dangerous thing to get into, especially if you're in like a disagreement with your partner or your boss or something like that. It's a dangerous game to play to really try to recount the exact details in situations like that, because a lot of times you may perceive it differently. But even when you're recalling the event, you're like, oh, I know for a fact that this is exactly how it happened. But if you're pretty emotional when that situation happens, or you're emotional when you're recalling it, your brain has a tendency to edit that memory. And then you're viewing that memory through that lens of those emotions, whether it's the emotions that were happening actually in that memory, or the emotions you're having now as you're recounting that experience.
Yeah, and it's interesting because whenever I talk about birth and I talk about Tim, he really is my rock. Like our first birth that we went through, that I had back labor and it was days of laboring, he was there through every single contraction and he was giving me counter pressure all the way back. And same thing in all the subsequent births, he is just such a strong rock for me and a huge support and such a phenomenal birth partner and very hands-on and just everything that I could ever ask for. And so in my mind, when I see him through that lens of us giving birth, I don't see that anxiety in him. I actually don't even think I could remember in any of my births him feeling anxious.
Well, you didn't see the anxiety, but it was a storm inside for our first one and then for our first hospital birth and for our first home birth.
Well, and that's what I mean is that I didn't see any of that, but inside all of this was going on inside of you. And so even in that same situation that we are experiencing, it could easily be such different memories of it because I was experiencing my portion of it and you were going through, you know, your portion as the husband and the support and really walking me through all that. And I think you carried the weight of the worry and concern while I was kind of focused in on doing what I needed to do, all the while getting the benefits of your support and really feeling and seeing you as this strong, sturdy rock for me. Well, inside, maybe it sounds like you're experiencing something a little different.
There might have been a little crack inside the rock.
And so this really is important to know as you go into your relationships, whether it's your marriage relationship, whether it's friendships, or with your children or parents, that we can be so adamant that this is how it happened. But hopefully this helps you understand that we could be looking at the exact same situation and have such a different experience, or the things that we consider fact, right? Even like the volume of the room and the things that I said and things that if we looked at it, it would be, okay, this is just what happened. This is what I can record and show you that happened. And we're so certain about it really could be different because like Tim was saying, our emotions that really color that lens. And so as we share all this, really look at the arguments that you've had with your spouse or even the disagreements that will come up in the future. Look at it from a perspective of, gosh, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe my emotions have changed just a little bit. That'll really change the atmosphere of your dialogue and conversation if you can go into it knowing, you know what, I might be wrong. Let me listen to their perspective on it. Versus going into a disagreement and just being adamant about this is how it happened. And both of you kind of buckling down and being so defensive about things and aggressive about how you remember it.
Yeah, and I do think a lot of people, they get caught up in the details of what had happened. Versus I think a more effective approach is talking about perceptions of the situation. Because your memory is flawed. It isn't perfect. One of my favorite kind of reductionist views for talking about the human brain is this idea that our brain is a bag of meat with electricity running through it. But we put so much stock and trust in like, oh yeah, I know it was exactly like this, or I know I'm right because of this, that, and the other thing. But it's prone to errors. We can make mistakes. We can misperceive things. We can misunderstand things. And when we're getting really stuck about talking about, no, I know it was this way, or I know you meant this, as opposed to, hey, this situation happened and this was my perception of it. This is how I saw it. Hey, well, I perceived it this way and this was what I saw and this is what I felt during this. That it makes it much easier for people to come to terms or an understanding of what was happening for the other person and why they were reacting that way. And then it allows them to then focus on the important thing, which is creating a solution for it. Both parties viewing the situation the exact same way is not really the end goal. It's what can we do to resolve and move past the situation, even if we have different perceptions of that situation.
And just a quick another path that I want to go down with this is that I can see this happen in just people telling stories of how things happen, where I'm sure you guys have all experienced it. You're at a party and somebody's telling a story and the spouse will stop them and be like, it wasn't 10 people, it was 15 people. Or correct other details along the way that really doesn't matter to the point of the story. I think we can address this on multiple levels, and this could probably be its own episode, but sometimes that can be really demeaning when you're constantly correcting your husband on their stories in front of people, rather than recognizing, okay, that probably doesn't really matter for me to correct it. And I think really understanding what's the purpose behind the story. Is it something where we're telling facts and we're trying to give them information, or are they just telling a story for entertainment and enjoyment because we're at a party with our friends and, you know, he's recalling the situation that happened?
I do think the motivation behind why you're telling the story is very important. If you are telling, like, hey, this is information, I'm trying to teach you something you need to know, like correcting a fact, I think is an important thing. But if we're just telling a story for fun's sake or to connect with each other, the exact details are relatively unimportant. But even then, if you're telling a story for embellishment or your partner's telling a story for embellishment, you might enhance certain details and things like that in order to emphasize a joke or a point or something like that. But then if you stop and are correcting each other throughout it, the story loses its oomph or its flair or the entertainment value for it. But then also it could just be you're saying your perception, but your perception may be right, it may not be right. Again, going back to how are we feeling when it's happening can affect our view of it.
All right, you guys, that's all we have for you today. Hopefully that was helpful in really helping you to realize that emotions and the things that we are experiencing internally really can affect how we remember things and how we recall things. And so as we're dealing with our spouse or other people, and maybe there's some conflict, definitely offer grace and have humility knowing that maybe I could be wrong in this. So we hope you guys have a great day, and remember, your mind is a powerful thing. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Mr. and Mrs. Therapy. We hope that you enjoyed today's episode and found it helpful. If so, would you take 30 seconds and share it with a friend? Also, we'd love for you to leave us a review on Apple Podcast. It lights us up to know that this podcast is helping you.
If you have any questions or a topic you'd like discussed in future episodes, visit our Facebook group. Just click the link in the description below. Although we are mental health providers, this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to provide diagnosis or treatment. If you are struggling with persistent mental health issues, chronic marital issues, or feeling hopeless or suicidal, you are not alone. Help is available. Please seek professional help or call the National Suicide Hotline at 988.
Thank you again for joining us on Mr. and Mrs. Therapy. Remember, there's always hope and there's always help.